The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. 7th Canto, Chapter Number 8, Text Number 16. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasa Thikari. Recorded on October 7th, 2017, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa Vikraman Putra Vadha Ipsu Ojasa Nishamya Nihradam Apurvam Adbutam Anta Sapayam Na Dadarsha Tatpadam Vitatrasu Yena Sara Ari Yuta Pa Savikramam Puttavadepshur Ujasa Nishamna Nihradam Apurvam Adbutam Antaksabayam Nadadarsha Tatpadam Vitach Vitatrashur Yena Sarani Yatapa Zavikramam Puttavadepshur Ojasa Nishamna Nihradam Apurvam Adbutam Antaksabayam Nadadarsha Tatpadam Vitatrasur Yena Sarari Yutapa He Hiranyakashipu Vikraman exhibiting his prowess Puttabadu Ipshu desirous of killing his own son Ojasa with great strength Nishamya hearing Nihradam the fierce sound Apurvam never heard before Adbhutam very wonderful Antaksabhayam within the jurisdiction of the great assembly. Na, not, Dadarsha saw Tatpadam, the source of that tumultuous sound. Vittatrashu became afraid. Yena, by which sound? Sarari Yuttapa. The other leaders of the demons, not only Hiranyakashipu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. While showing his extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful, tumultuous sound which had never been heard before. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhagavad Gita 7.8, Krishna explains himself by saying, Rasoham apsukonteya prabhashmi sashishuryayo Panavasarvavedeshu Shabdake Padushamnashu. O son of Kunti Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable om and the Vedic mantras, I am the sound and ether and the ability in man. Here the Lord exhibited his presence everywhere by the tumultuous sound in the sky, Shabdake. The tumultuous thundering sound was proof of the Lord's presence. The demons like Hiranyakashipu could now realize the supreme ruling power of the Lord, and thus Hiranyakashipu became afraid. However powerful a man may be, he always fears the sound of a thunderbolt. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu and all the demons who were his associates were extremely afraid because of the presence of the Supreme Lord in the form of sound, although they could not trace out the source of the sound. So just see how powerful is sound. Sound vibration is very, 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 very powerful. Simply by sound vibration from Prabhupada's lotus mouth, this whole movement has come by sound vibration. And it will continue to spread more and more and more and more by sound vibration. That same sound, which is very fearful to the demons, is super enlivening to the devotees. You see? The demons, they think, I am God. So if someone threatens their position, they're very much perturbed. The Vaishnavas, they want to see that Krishna becomes more and more glorified, more and more worshipped, more and more honored, more and more appreciated, more and more loved by everyone throughout the whole world. Because it is this love of Krishna which will bring peace and happiness to every single living entity in every town and village throughout the entire planet. Indeed, the entire universe. Why is that? Because that is the natural constitution of the living being. The living being, by his very nature, is a lover of God. To not be a lover of God, that's something artificial. It's a diseased state of a living being. So somehow or other, we have to get back to that natural state. As Prabhupada so many times gives the example of the fish out of the water. You may try to please Mr. Fish on the land. No matter what facility you give that fish on the land, have a nice car, have a nice cigar, have a nice movie star wife, my dear Mr. Fish. No matter what you give that fish, he will never be satisfied on the land. I mean, if you just toss him back in the water, that's all he needs. Simple living and high thinking, you see. They made just the opposite. High living and no thinking. What kind of rascal civilization is this? You ask them who you are, what is your identity? They think, well, that's not relevant. Where can I get some sense gratification? Isn't it insane what's going on right now in the world? Absolute insanity. That's why you have these things like this Las Vegas shooting, you know, 55 people mowed down, you see, some concert. It's getting crazier and crazier and crazier with each passing year because they're missing the common center. Ishavashamidam sarvam yatkim cham jagajam jagat. They are missing that God-centered conception. They're thinking it's something old-fashioned. Religion is for some sentimental fools. That's what they think. But they don't understand what is actual religion. Religio, the Latin word, to relink with your actual identity. They take religion as some artificial imposition on their lives, but actually, bona fide religion means get back to being who you actually are. One time when I was out traveling and preaching, I was in the Fiji Islands, and it was a late night flight from Nandi to Los Angeles. Like 300 people all queued up, you know. We're all standing around. So one smug atheist comes up to me, sees me, I'm dressed a little differently. With, you know, dhoti, tilak, shaved head. He said, "What's your religion?" Like, "I'm going to smash you right now, you stupid religionist." So I looked him right in the face and said, "Know who you are and be who you are." Couldn't say a word. Because that's our program, actually. We're simply teaching people, know who you are, that's all. Find out who you actually are and then actually be who you are. There's gyan and vigyan, right? Gyan means know who you are, and vigyan means be who you are. That's all we're saying. Know who you are and be who you are. It's just a simple thing. But who in the world wouldn't want to know who they are? Especially if they're the son of a multi-trillionaire, quadrillionaire, Krishna. If I could tell you, you're the son of the wealthiest man in all of existence, who would be interested to find out who you actually are, sir? I didn't tell him all that, but I could have. I mean, isn't it crazy to be a pauper on the street when your father is a multi-quintillionaire? That's what we're doing. We're loitering here in the cycle of birth and death, going through all these species of life. It's simply idiotic. It's absolutely asinine to go on like this in the cycle of birth and death when we're the sons of Krishna, the sons and daughters of Krishna. It's absolutely insane. It doesn't make any sense at all. It's completely crazy. Therefore, we have to take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. We have to follow the teachings of this greatest acharya, his divine grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasada Shishimad Esi Bhakti Vedantiti Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Prabhupada told us, "I didn't want to go to that material world, but Krishna said, you go there and you write those books." So Prabhupada surrendered. And we've gotten that blessing of these books. Prabhupada said, they are the law books for the next 10,000 years. Actually, someday they will accept it, you see. Right now, they don't accept. But if we keep preaching, keep distributing books, keep chanting, keep trying to purely follow the wonderful teachings of Prabhupada, that day will come, as Prabhupada predicted. He said, this movement will go down in history for having saved the world in its darkest hour of despair. So we have a great legacy. We have a great blessing from Srila Prabhupada to actually bless the world with the knowledge, with the system for bringing perfect peace and happiness to this planet. These teachings are so powerful. This knowledge is so powerful. This system of life is so powerful. Papa said, even if we can make 1% of the world Krishna conscious, there'll be world peace. That's all you need, 1%. And then he said, not even 1%, even less than 1%. So that would be 50 million. All we need is 50 million people who are strictly following these teachings, and world history will flip. It will flip. A new era will come. All we need is that 50 million people who are strictly following Prabhupada. It's all we need. It's doable. It is doable. If we take up this mood of spreading Krishna consciousness, I really relish Prabhupada's explanation of Bahir Nisinga Hridaye Nisinga. It's given in the fifth canto Purpur. It's so ecstatic. Those four little words, Bahir Nisinga Hridaye Nisinga. Prabhupada elaborates, but he expands it out like this. May Lord Nisringadev dwell within my heart, killing all of my bad propensities so that my mind can become clean and I can bring peace to the entire world. Did you know you're praying that every day in the Sringa prayer? You're praying that you can bring peace to the world, to the whole world. You see, nishingen within, nishingen without. Nishingen within means get all of that lust, that anger, that greed, that madness, that illusion, that envy, that laziness, craziness. Get all of that crud out of my heart. We're begging, you see. Hridayena singa. Hridayena singa. Hridayena singa. Hridayena singa. We're begging him to clean out all that stool, to flush all the stool out of our hearts, you see. And to the extent that we're able to do that, we become empowered for Bahirna Singha, to manifest Krishna consciousness on this planet, in this universe, you see. So therefore we should strive for the utmost in purity at every minute, that my dear Krishna, please bless me, that I can become your pure devotee right now, not next year or next week or next decade or next lifetime. Let me and my dear Lord at this very moment become your completely pure devotee. Please dry all this crud out of my heart. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. That will benefit us. It will benefit the whole world, you see. It's amazing. There's one purport in the CC. It's absolutely amazing. The power of chanting. Talking about sound again. You see. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada explains it this way. He says, a devotee who can chant the holy name of the Lord without offense becomes Jagat Guru. And under his influence, the whole world will take to Krishna consciousness. So there's a twofold benefit for becoming pure chanters. We become happy and we can make the whole world happy, you see. So how much we have to emphasize, each one of us, in our own sadhana, that pure chanting to get it free of the namaparads. How much we should be understanding the importance of that pure chanting, you see. You know this? Chanting is enchanting. Very, very enchanting. If you seriously strive to purely chant the names of Krishna, magic happens. I'm not there yet. No way. I have proof that I'm not there yet. Prabhupada wrote me one letter. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. I still see a statue there. You see, that means I'm a namaparadhi. That I can't see Krishna, you see. Actually, the pure devotee can see Krishna everywhere. I can see Krishna hardly anywhere, you see. Therefore, I know I'm a great offender against the holy names. So every day I'm just begging Krishna, my dear Lord, please save me from this wretched consciousness, this contaminated, offensive consciousness that I've been caught up in for millions and billions of lifetimes. Please deliver me, my Lord, so I can do something valuable for you. Something valuable. Instead of being an impediment for the spreading of Krishna consciousness, I can actually do something to benefit the spreading of Krishna consciousness on this planet, you see. So this process is simply wonderful. Of course, there's that famous quote from Prabhupada, you know. I love that quote. And everyone, and most of y'all, many of y'all know that quote. My godbrother, Nandakishore, he said, Srila Prabhupada, what happens when we give somebody a Simply Wonderful on the street? Prabhupada said, he will come to your temple and he will become simply wonderful. He said, Krishna is simply wonderful, this process is simply wonderful, then you are all simply wonderful. Then Kirtananda said, Prabhupada is simply wonderful. And Prabhupada said, that's all right, have kirtan. That's one of those wonderful, wonderful quotes, you see. But this process is simply wonderful. And you are all simply wonderful, Prabhupada confirms. I'm trying to become simply wonderful. Someday I hope I can become simply wonderful. Right now I'm simply terrible. Krishna, please save me, you see. So this is a very nice chapter here. Krishna, the Lord slays the king of the demons. Well, I wish he would slay this demoniac mentality that I'm holding on to, you see. Another insider secret of how to awaken Krishna consciousness. The more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. You see? So the more we preach, the more we distribute this knowledge, we become, that helps us to awaken our own Krishna consciousness. So even if I'm not a pure devotee yet, I'm still a rascal, you see. Still, whatever I've learned about Krishna, I should share that with the whole world. I should share it with everyone. Whatever I've learned. Jare de katare kaha Krishna upadesh amara agaya guru hoyutare desh. You see, whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna in this way. On my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this country. So, if we follow that very seriously, whatever I have realized about Krishna, let me share that. Here's the really cool thing about this. Whatever you have realized about Krishna, share it, and Krishna will give you more realizations. The more you share your realizations, the more you get realizations. That's why I'm very eager to preach. Even though I'm not very realized, I know if I share whatever I've realized, Krishna will give me more realization. And more realization, you see. So why not try to make the world Krishna conscious? What else to do? Enjoy my senses? You see? No. Let's try to pull off a global spiritual revolution. Why not? That was Prabhupada's order. You know what he told us? He told his disciples, become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow. Go wash the pots and now become guru and deliver the whole world. Wow. Pretty heavy order, deliver the whole world. Prabhupada told us. You see? So you say, well, that's impossible. Why even try? I mean, why be frustrated by trying to live in the world? Because you can't do it anyway. One could argue, you see. But if we make that endeavor to follow Prabhupada's instruction to live in the world, at least we'll become Krishna conscious. And we might make a few devotees along the way, you see. If we take that mood, as Prabhupada told us, to live in the world, that will inspire us to not just sleep and eat. You understand? Prabhupada told us to deliver the world, so let's do whatever we can to pull off a global spiritual revolution. At least starting right here. Revolutionize your heart, revolutionize the world. You see? At least I can revolutionize my own heart and have a revolutionary impact on others. A few, maybe, if I'm lucky, if I'm fortunate. You see? So in this way, we take up this mood, spiritual revolutionary, you see. On the order of Srila Prabhupada, we'll have an ecstatic life, you see. Our life will become an amazing adventure every minute. Most amazing adventure every minute, you see. That's the advantage of embracing the life of a preacher. On the order of Gauranga, your whole life becomes an exciting adventure. Of how to spread Krishna consciousness, starting with myself. How to awaken Krishna consciousness in the hearts of all. It's an exciting adventure. How do you deal with the ups and downs? Sometimes they ask. Sometimes I get really depressed, I get down. How to keep my enthusiasm up? Well, I have a little thing that really helped me a lot. I got an order from Prabhupada to always be enthusiastic. See, I joined with I was attracted by one great preacher, His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, and he was very fired up for spreading Krishna consciousness. So in his association, we got to spread Krishna consciousness. Yeah, spread the movement. That enthusiasm was there because of Vishnu Jan's association. Then I got initiated, actually. We all went to L.A. from Austin over to the Rath Yatra, you know, in San Francisco, and there was a whole bunch of initiations in L.A. Maybe some of you got initiated in 71. It's a big initiations in L.A., but I had only been in for 4 months. I'd only been chanting for 4 months, so I was left out. Everybody else got initiated most of them got initiated, but not me. But then 2 months later, I'd passed the 6 months. But Prabhupada was not, he was in London. So Prabhupada initiated us by mail. I was a mail order disciple. A letter came from London. Very nice. So now, you know, usually you give your dear dakshina, you hand in your dear dakshina, you know, but now I get to write Prabhupada a letter to mail my dakshina into Prabhupada. And he's very businesslike. He replied with the exact amount of each check, like a treasurer, you know, making sure that, you know, all the checks that arrived, the exact I've received these three checks of these amounts. And then Prabhupada told me this, and it really went deep into my heart. He said, I can see that you're a very sincere and enthusiastic boy, eager for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement. He said, now if you will continue enthusiastically as you are doing, surely Krishna will bless you. Wow. Think it's worth being enthusiastic after Prabhupada tells you that? Gives me a good reason to always be enthusiastic. I'll be honest, ISKCON's gone through a lot of ups and downs since 1971. A lot of ups and some really bad downs. Up and down sometimes, ISKCON. But that instruction has always kept me up, upbeat. You see. Because I know if I always remain enthusiastic to be Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness, Krishna will shower his mercy upon me. You see. And I got another letter from Prabhupada said, how Lord Chaitanya would shower his mercy like torrents of rain in the monsoon season of India. So the fact is that if we always remain enthusiastic, and here's another tip I've realized recently. I'm going through some heavy physical difficulty with sciatica. And I couldn't even get out of bed. It was so horrible. But I was getting really devastated psychologically, to be honest. But I had a realization which turned the whole thing around. I remember our Siksha Guru, Kunti Devi, Queen Kunti. She was praying for more difficulties. You see. So there I was in great pain. And I said, Krishna, please give me more difficulties. Please give me more and more and more difficulties. As soon as I did that, I was in ecstatic. And I got over it. And now I'm walking around, I even don't have a cane. You know, I was walking with a cane for a while. Now I just pack my cane away, I don't even use the cane. But that's a nice tip I can pass on to all of you. If you ever have some difficulties and you say, I can't handle this, it's too much, you say, Krishna, please give me more difficulties. Please shower me with unlimited difficulties, my dear Lord. As soon as you do that, there's no more difficulties. Everything is now a blessing. Everything that happens to you at every minute, in all times, places, and circumstances, is actually Krishna's blessing to bring you back to Him as soon as possible. That's actually a fact. It's simply a matter of realizing it. Not what I do, you see, but the things that happen to me. You see, that is Krishna's blessing. Actually, everything is Krishna's blessing. Krishna wants us back to His abode more than we can even begin to imagine. Krishna is hankering for us to be back with Him in His transcendental pastimes in the spiritual world, in His original form or one of His other forms. Krishna very much wants each and every one of us back to home, back to Godhead as soon as possible, because He misses us. He loves us. We're His beloved children and He misses us. It tears His heart to see how we're suffering here in the cycle of birth and death. It breaks His heart. He wants us back to Him as soon as possible. So He is orchestrating everything. As Prabhupada said right here in Vrindavan, He said, everything is acting and moving under the direction of Krishna. This consciousness is Krishna consciousness. Try to see how Krishna is arranging everything at every minute to bring you back to Him ASAP. So we have about 12 minutes left, and we can have some questions now. Sankirtan, you come up here and tell me what they're asking, because I can't hear so well. Come on this side. Just speak it out. Just speak it out. Let me catch up with what you said so far. I couldn't make it. What is he saying?
You mentioned that Prabhupada wants 50 million devotees. And to reach that 50 million devotees, we have to be united. But sometimes we are not united, and we are not able to preach.
Sometimes we're not united, so it's difficult for us to meet that 50 million devotees. Yeah. So how can we get united then? Well, we have to understand the importance of unity. United we stand and divided we fall, is the old American saying. You take one stick, you can snap it easily. You take a bundle of sticks, you can't break it, you see. So the word is solidarity. That was the name of the labor union in Poland that actually overthrew the communist government. Solidarity is the key. You say, the thing is, we may not always agree on every point. You may think today we should dress the deities in a blue outfit, and I think, no, in a yellow outfit. So we're going to have a fight over it? You see? We have to learn how to be together, even though we don't always agree on every point. That's an important thing. Just because we disagree on certain points doesn't mean we can't have solidarity. There has to be enough faith in the principle of this movement that we can stick together in spite of our differences of opinion. Prabhupada even said, in spiritual life, differences of opinion are spiritual. We can't let a difference of opinion break us apart. You see, we have to see what points we do agree on and stick together on those points, even though within is it's what's diversity within unity. You see, there can be diversity. You see, but that principle of unity has to be embraced very tightly. Otherwise, we're dead. This movement is dead, finished. Like so many other movements have come and gone, you see. We want this movement to hold together. We want it to come to the point where the world leaders are taking guidance from our ISKCON leaders on how to run their governments. That's the kind of solidarity we need. You understand? Okay, next. Having difficulties, why do we want to be separate instead of united? Because we're stupid, that's why. We're just damn stupid. That's all I can say. Anybody who wants to split off from this movement because they're having difficulties with it, they're idiots. They have no brain. They have cow dung. Anybody who wants to leave ISKCON because he's having difficulty, I've had so many difficulties here, you see. I've had decades of difficulties with this movement. But that doesn't matter to me, because just like in a marriage, how many marriages have no difficulties? Every marriage has difficulties, isn't it? But divorce is against Vedic principles, right? So divorce is outlawed in Vedic culture. There's no such thing as divorce. It doesn't exist. So splitting off from ISKCON doesn't exist in Vedic culture. Anybody who leaves, they're not following Vedic culture. They're following Kali Yuga culture. Next. Anybody else? There's a Mataji there, okay.
Can't hear. You mentioned if we always be enthusiastic, then Krishna will shower mercy. But sometimes we face some downs and we're not feeling so enthusiastic. Does it mean that during these times Krishna is not showering mercy?
No, Krishna is always showering the mercy. Even if you have doubts and you lose your enthusiasm, doesn't mean that the mercy is not coming. Mercy is always coming. What is the question? I mentioned how to always be enthusiastic, but sometimes we have doubts and we lose our enthusiasm. So was Krishna not showering his mercy at that time? No, Krishna is always showering the mercy. If you have faith in that principle, you'll never lose your enthusiasm. If you have doubts about Krishna's mercy, then you have to beg him to help you understand how he's always merciful. You see? Krishna is never cruel to his devotees. He's always showering his mercy. If you're not feeling that shower of mercy, you're not understanding, you have to beg Krishna to help you understand it. I can guarantee you this, if you beg Krishna to help you understand how he's always showering his mercy upon you, he will do that. He will help you to understand that. One of the greatest assets in advancing in this spiritual life is you have to be a beggar. How did Prabhupada describe himself? An insignificant beggar. We have to be begging Krishna, begging Krishna, begging Krishna for his mercy. That's what the Hare Krishna mantra is. And it's not that we should stop begging after we finish our rounds or just chant our rounds mechanically. We have to always be in that mood of begging the mercy of Krishna, and then you'll always have enthusiasm. When you feel a lack of enthusiasm, beg Krishna. My dear Lord, I'm feeling a lack of enthusiasm to serve you. Please pull me out of this delusion. Bring me back to my natural constitutive position of pure love for you. Take all the negatives and use them as an impetus for begging from Krishna, and you'll have no more difficulties. Next. Got 5 minutes left. Any other questions from the assembled Vaishnavas? Everyone's set now to become... Yes. Let me find out what he said now.
Sometimes people keep the distance from Islam management, but they follow the principles and practice. And sometimes they go together with management, but they're not following. Can you elaborate on that?
Which management? Some local management?
Iskon.
Sometimes. Actually, household life is there's a certain independence in household life. You see? You're not living in the temple, you have your own income. Prabhupada said the householders should not be supported by ISKCON, but they should support ISKCON. So, just because we may not agree with everything that's going on, we should still, as far as possible, cooperate with this movement. I may not agree with different things, but still, I go to the leaders' meeting every year in North America. Even though I don't agree with everything that they're doing, I still go, you see. Because that association is very important. And that mood of, you know, diversity, unity within diversity is also important. I may not agree with everything the management is doing, but still I support the principle of the management. And I do everything I possibly can to cooperate with them. You see? Thing is, it's not easy being in management. It's not some, you know, high paid position like in a corporation. It's a service. So we have to appreciate that devotees have taken up managerial service. We should help them as much as we possibly can in their service. Encourage them. They're great souls. You see, they are great souls. So we have to appreciate them. We have to love them. And as far as possible, cooperate with them. Is that all right? Okay.
Thank you so much, wonderful lecture. How further do we go? We should try to pray to Krishna as soon as possible. We should become pure devotee of Krishna. But how further, you know, for maintenance, for different responsibilities, you know, they can't surrender properly. So how further, how they can become 100% pure devotees?
You mentioned that we have to pray to become as soon as possible pure devotee, but householder has many different duties also to do. So how to?
The householder's duty is also to be a pure devotee. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a householder; he was a pure devotee. Not that I'm a householder. Everything should be dovetailed for pure devotion. If you're doing something which is not connected with the process of pure devotion, give it up. You're earning a livelihood. You have a career. Why? So you have some financial means to support the physical needs of yourself and your family. That's all right. We have to keep, the body has to also be maintained. But for what purpose? To cultivate pure devotional service. You see? It's not that going out and pursuing a career is a deviation. Prabhupada is a very aggressive businessman also. His business was very big. He was a very successful businessman. He even had his own factory for manufacturing pharmaceutical medicine. But he was a pure devotee. You understand? What's the difficulty? A householder can pursue it. Prabhupada said a Krishna conscious businessman should aspire to be the wealthiest businessman in the whole world. Why? Because then he has tons of money to support spreading Krishna consciousness. You see? So there's nothing wrong. Our householders become multi-billionaires. We have no problem with that. We have no problem if our householders become rich, powerful in the material world. We have no problem. Use it, but it all is for Krishna. You understand? Okay, we got about zero time left. All right, this is the last one. Okay.
I just read a lecture from Srila Prabhupada on this point. It said that Duryodhan and his associates, they were attacked by the Yakshas or something. And Yudhisthira and Arjuna, they went to help them. So Prabhupada said, from an outside source, if the Vaishnavas get attacked, then they stick together despite their differences and support one another.
Okay, let's wait for the bell. Jai. Yeah. Okay, so what was this point? You're saying they work together in spite of their differences. The idea is to work together in spite of our differences.
Duryodhan is the worst enemy of Yudhisthira. When he was attacked by the Yakshas or something,
the Pandavas defended him? Yeah, I've got a good point. You see, we may have different opinions, but when we're attracted from the outside, we defend each other. It's a very good point. So we thank you all very much for tuning in to Bhagavatam class. May your lives become now successful with pure bhakti and spreading pure bhakti all over the world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantarat Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanande.
Yeah.